I hope not. Good morning. It's good to be with you all. I definitely appreciate the sentiment and thoughts that Brother Gary put forth, but I much prefer just brother. This office that is held in the church is very humbling, but it's also an office of servitude, of a servant. And it's easy. I've had many older ministers, older men encourage and instruct me as we've been through the past several years that's a very early and easy target that Satan will pour out upon a young minister is to, you know, I've got a title now, or I'm something, or boy, I can really preach now that I'm ordained and that sort of thing, and nothing's changed. I'm still the same sinner as I was before that day, and I'm still wonderfully blessed by God's mercy and grace. I feel affected by His grace and mercy, chosen by Him, and wonderfully blessed to be amongst the people that are the part of the living, breathing, visible church kingdom of that Jesus Christ set up in His New Testament. So I ask that you continue to pray for us. I know y'all have been, and we appreciate that so much. We love you, and just continue to pray for us as we go forward. As Brother Gary mentioned, my family is in need of your prayers at this time, but we also know that the God is able, and He has provided in so many ways, and He will continue to provide. I have just one thought on my mind this morning I'll try to express for just a few moments, and just in a practical way, if, like Brother Gary mentioned, if things get too rowdy in the back, then I may have to sit down. But we'll pray that the Lord will take care of that in His way. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in the first verse, he says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that, whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." The description that's used there, and that it's used in many other places, that this temple of God, and an earthen house of this tabernacle, he's describing our body, the creation of God. I mean, we know that in Scripture that the church of God is described as a house, and Christ being the chief cornerstone. There's many description of buildings to iterate to us, to explain to us, and describe to us how something is built up from a foundation and a safety and a shelter there. But in this description, it's describing a home, a dwelling place. And he says, if this earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. So if I'm thinking of a verse over in Romans 8 where he's describing a groaning as well. In 8 and 23, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. We have a body, an earthly tabernacle, here that we live and dwell in on this earth. The first one that was created by God. He called it Adam, and he breathed into it the breath of life, Genesis says. Sin came into this world, and death by sin, and that tabernacle, that dwelling place, began to corrupt, be affected by sin, It inhabits, in a way, our flesh. But there's also a dwelling place whose builder and maker is God. Now, and I can't recall the place where the scripture is at the moment, but he's describing, I will remove their hard and stony heart and put in a heart of flesh. And then there's another description of that work where it says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that's describing, Nicodemus asked about this, a new birth, the regeneration is another description of it. But I won't even call it a remodeling, but there's a removal of a heart and a replacement of a new dwelling place when that work of regeneration happens. So, and that is not by our action. As we've gone over and over, we understand total depravity. Y'all are well familiar with that doctrine. But Christ Jesus' work upon the dead sinner's heart and him replacing that heart with a heart of flesh and dwelling therein. And this is where the groaning comes from. Earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. And the Romans describes it as groaning, that to waiting for the adoption of our bodies, that the rest of this tabernacle, not just the dwelling place of God in our heart, would be changed. So just want to take a few minutes here, and then I'll try to wrap this up and describe to you in a way, I guess, the two dwellers. We have an earthly house of this tabernacle, and there's a place where Paul, I believe it is describing the warring within, where these two are dwelling together in this same body. So we have a flesh, a sinful flesh, and dwelling in that is the nature of man, and a sinful man whose desires and lust after the flesh and the things of the flesh. Romans 8 again says, they that are after the flesh desire the things of the flesh, they after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And so nature, that old man, as one place describes it, dwells in this earthen tabernacle, And he has residence here. And he desires the things of this world, the things of this flesh that please the flesh, that might give joy to his, or exalting to our pride, that might give exalting to our the lust of the eyes, of the pride of life, or the things of this world that would build up and satisfy the flesh. But we also know, we're well aware that those things are temporal. They're short. And those things that, you know, we might take pride in such a good job we would do in our work or place, or even in our family or children, loved ones, friends, whatever the case might be. But those things fail us. Even our family, our friends, our loved ones. The Bible describes even that a mother would forsake her sucking child. The flesh will fail us. It's very short. So there's a description of the dweller in the earthen tabernacle. But we also have this building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. This tabernacle, this new heart of flesh, is where the Spirit of God dwells. And in this dweller, this dweller is holy. This dweller is righteous and perfect. This dweller is eternal. The things that he would do and the will that he has is everlasting. This dweller always does good. This dweller loves. This dweller loves without end and without expectation of reciprocation or result. He loves with an everlasting love that no man of the other dweller there can match or even fathom to match. This dweller, the Spirit of Almighty God, is a king. So my friends, within you is a new home. A place fit for a king. A place built by a king. And wherein dwells the king. The king of your heart. The King of glory, the King of heaven and earth, the brightness of his glory this world cannot take without being consumed. That's that groaning within. Our spirit groans and desires that our entire tabernacle, old and new, would be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. That's a burden some days. Not for that we would be unclothed. This earthly tabernacle is still built, whose builder and maker is God. And it was bought with a price, the precious blood of the Lamb. Bought and paid for, and it's his, and he will return for that. So there's no throwing it away, he's describing. But clothed upon, covered up, that mortality might be swallowed up in life. swallowed up in the life of Christ Jesus, swallowed up of eternal life, of redemption and salvation by grace. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. He's given unto us this down payment of the Spirit dwelling within us. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, and we are at home, this is our home, a home built by God, but we are absent from the Lord, who we desire to be with. That Spirit desires to be with our Heavenly Father. It cries out, Abba, Father. Daddy, Daddy is what that description is, if you break that down, I believe. For we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. Therefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. There's a laboring, a time salvation that we can and should do. And when that groaning is going on, it drives us to press into His kingdom and to see and understand better the Holy One that dwells within us. But we also are clear to understand that when we stand before God and stand in judgment, we stand judged, washed in the blood of the Lamb. We stand cleansed and our sins purged because of Christ Jesus. Not of our works, lest any could boast, any man could boast. But I just want to share with you today that there is a dwelling, who's a temple, who a dweller and a dwelling, whose builder and maker is God. A king resides in your heart. A king. And not just a king of this earth that we might think of, but a king of the heavens. A king whose power is unknown, limitless, whose glory and brightness is unknown and limitless, whose love and righteousness and every act and word and deed is holy. The King of Glory. Thank you for your good attention. Come ahead, Brother Gary.
Thank you, Brother Elder Green. Brother Elder, that's what we'll call you. Appreciate him so much for coming and taking that time. And, you know, he got my mind going in a lot of different places. But I know every one of you was thinking out there. You kind of thinking about the little angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other shoulder. That's your two natures that he was talking about. And You want to listen to the good part, but the bad part keeps picking at you. And you find yourself sometimes leaning that way towards the bad part, and you get yourself in a situation and you say, oh my gosh, what have I done? What have I done? And then what do you do then? You say, oh Lord, help me. Bring me back. Get me away from this. Why am I in this circumstance? Why? Why? Because of that fleshly nature that's in us. But the Lord has put His nature in us, His love, that soft heart that He was talking about. The Lord put it there. You know, and let's read Jeremiah, the 31st verse, the 31st chapter, and the 33rd verse. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. You know, I like it in the scriptures when it says, saith the Lord. This is not Jeremiah talking. This is not Paul or Peter or whatever. When it says, saith the Lord wants you to know, I'm saying this. Listen to this. This got to be important. If the Lord's saying, I'm saying this to you. Let's read it again. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. Now, there's going to be a covenant made. The I is who? Is the Lord with the house of Israel. Who is the house of Israel? That's his people. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. What heart's he going to write it in? Is he going to write it in that hard, stony heart? He's going to write it in that soft heart, that heart of love that he's already given you. Because he's not talking to you if he hasn't already put his love in your heart. If you hadn't already been born of the Spirit of God. You understand what I'm saying? You're not going to understand what he's saying. He's talking to his people, and he's smart enough to know who to talk to. You got that? Does that make sense? And I will write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now, did he say, maybe I'll be their God, and maybe they'll be my people? I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Is that a word I like? Shall? How many times have I told you? I love the shalls in the Bible. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from his sin. He's not going to try. He's going to do it. He's going to save his people from their sins. Let's read the rest of this. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, and I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Now, who is this he's talking about again? These are the ones that he wrote his law in their heart. He put their love in their heart, and they're not going to try to convince each other, know the Lord, because they all will know him. I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Does that not make you want to just shout for joy? If it does, go ahead and do it. But I will remember their sin no more. No more. Never again, Brother Joe, is he going to remember your sin. Why? Because the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came to this earth, died, went to the cross, died, buried, and was resurrected. Where is he now? He's sitting on the right hand of God. Thank you, Brother Matt. You, Brother Elder Matt, you made me think of some things. I want to look now, speaking of, I believe it's in 2 Timothy, yes. The third chapter of 2 Timothy. Y'all know I love the little word of, O-F. Y'all have heard me speak of that before. And if you hadn't, you weren't paying attention because I've spoke about that little word a lot. But 3:16, and I love the way that it's 2 Timothy 3:16. Every time I hear 3:16, that's the battle cry of the Arminian church and the church of the world. It's John 3:16. But anyway, all scripture... How many scriptures? All. That's every scripture. Every scripture, what are we talking about? In this book, in this Bible, is given by inspiration of God. It's given by inspiration of God. If Paul wrote it down, if the saints of old wrote it down, it was inspired of God. I don't know where the scripture is, but there's one scripture that said that they did it as they were moved. I don't know where that is. But anyway, you know, I moved that bottle of water right there. And that water got there because by what power? By my power. I moved it right there. I can move it over here. Now, if that bottle of water wants to get off of there, he can't do it on his own power. I've got to reach over. The Lord moved the men of old to write the scriptures. He gave them the inspiration. I don't know if he went so far as if when they put their hand on the paper, if he moved their hand or not, but he gave them the thoughts and the desire to write down what they did. Why? Because they had been given what? A soft heart. A heart of the Spirit of the Lord. And they were receptacles to do that. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and it's profitable. Here's something that's profitable. You want something that's profitable? Take this book, sit down and read it. It will profit you. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. If you want to know how to act, how to live your life in this old world, pick it up and read it. It's in there. And if you have trouble finding it, call me or Brother Matt or Brother Joe up and we'll try to steer you in the direction of things that you can read that will fill you up with joy and excitement. 17th verse. Now, why is he saying all of this? All scripture is given by God, by inspiration of God. It's profitable. Why is he saying all this? What is all this for? 17th verse. That the man of God. Who? The man of God. Who is the man of God? That's the one that he's put his heart in, softened his heart and gave him a heart of love and of peace. That's who the man of God is. All scriptures, now all scripture, every scripture in here is given that the man of God may be perfect. Now, if you follow these scriptures exactly like it is in here, you're going to be what? You're going to be perfect. None of us can do that. Why? Because the flesh that's in us, that other part, that other heart that we can't seem to get rid of, is going to be nagging at us all the time. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You follow the word of the Lord, you're going to be doing things that you're supposed to be doing. Good works, you want to do good works? Read it in here. Do you do good works in order to go to heaven? No. No. You do good works in order to be honoring to your Father who is in heaven. You want to do the things that he would have you do. Does it make you feel good when you do something right? And you know, maybe the Lord is thankful that I did that. And it gives you a good old fuzzy feeling inside. I've said this before. And I've said this before. So I'm going to quit saying that I've said this before. But you all know I've talked about my Father. And when I was a child, of course, my mother and my father gave me natural life, and there's nothing I had to do with it, you know. That's another subject. I love that subject. But when he would leave the house in the morning, he said, "Now, Gary, the backyard needs to be mowed. I want you to get that lawnmower out, fill it up with gas, check the oil, and mow the backyard." "Yes, sir, I will. I'll do that." You know, it's easy for me to say, "Yes, I will." And he drives off down the street. Well, what do I do? Well, he's not going to be back till 3 or 4 o'clock. I've got a lot of time. I'm going to get on my bicycle. I'm going to go down to the Delwood Plaza, the little mall in Midland. I'm going to go down and look around a little bit, you know. And I've got a little money. I had a paper route. I said, "I got a little money. I can go down. I can buy something, get me some candy." I was 12, 13 years old. So I'm down there doing that. Having fun, I see a friend of mine, and he's got his bicycle, and we start riding bicycles through the street, out west here of Midland, Delano Street, Illinois Avenue, Midkiff. We were just tearing it up, burning it up. And all of a sudden, I look down at my watch. I said, "Oh, no, it's the middle of the afternoon, and Daddy may be home, you know?" So I go rushing home. Sure enough, I round the corner, and there sits his car. The fear of my Father came in my heart. I have been disobedient to my father, my earthly father. I didn't do what he told me to do. And whatever he has to say to me or whatever punishment he has, I thoroughly deserve it. I deserve that earthly punishment from my father. Now, on the other hand, if I didn't take off on my bicycle, if I didn't go somewhere, if I'd grabbed that lawnmower and filled it up with gas and put oil in it and fired that sucker up and started mowing that backyard, then when I heard my father pull into the driveway, I'd be coming running out the door and say, "Look, look, Dad, you give me a job to do and I did it. Look what I did," you know, and you feel good about yourself. You feel happy that you did what your earthly father told you to do. It's the same way with our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father gave us our spiritual life. We all know that. You didn't get it by doing anything separate or different. You didn't pray a certain kind of special prayer and all of a sudden you were given holy life, spiritual life. I almost said it again. But Brother Matt mentioned it as Nicodemus. He went to Christ and asked him, said, "How in the world do you get born again? And how in the world? We know you're a master come from God. What? How do you know these things?" And Christ is telling us, he's saying, this is what he said. He said, "Well, you wouldn't know that I am come from above, you know, if you weren't already born of the Spirit of God." It's what he's trying to tell him. But he didn't come out directly. He said, man must be born again in order to see the kingdom of God. He scratches his head and said, "What? That doesn't make any sense. What do you mean? How does a man go back in his mother's womb?" I think he says, "If born of the water and the Spirit, he shall not enter into the kingdom of God." Then he explains to him about the Spirit of God. The wind blows, and I'm not going to try to pull this off out of my memory. Let's just get over here. I know I probably don't get in the stand and say anything that I don't go to this scripture. But anyway, just bear with me. That's the way it is. Verily, verily, as third chapter of John, fifth verse. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now he's going to tell us how this happens. He's going to tell you right now how this happens. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. You don't know exactly when it happened. It happened, it came, and you can't identify. You feel it, you know it's there. How many of you have felt that? That's right, good. I see hands and I see heads shaking up and down. So let's get back over here. Oh, man, Romans. My job, running my little music store, I'm in the mall, and there's a lot of people coming around. And there's a church on the other end, and they all, the elders and deacons and ministers, they all find out that I like reading the scriptures, and I go to church, and they've asked me about my praise and worship band. We don't have a praise and worship band. We don't have musical instruments. We have the instruments the Lord gave us. And that's our praise and worship tool. Our instrument is right here. But they always keep coming by saying, it's almost like they're standing down the hall. Well, what would Gary say about this scripture? Now look at this. This will trip him up, you know. He's not going to be able to explain this scripture. Of course, sometimes I take him over to Timothy, all scripture is given by angels of God, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So if there's a scripture in here you can't understand, you say, well, maybe that's right. The Arminians are right. That you got to do this. No, that scripture that they're using is there for the man of God, somebody that's already born again. So they can't be right that you got to do this. Does that make any sense? The whole book is written to who? Who? Y'all can say it, the man of God, right? Is there anything in here that the devil and his children can take and change their status? Is there anything in here? No. This brother, and I call him a brother, he's an elder at that church, and we eat breakfast together every morning, and he's always asking me little questions. But last week he said, you know, I just read something that I just can't understand. I said, well, what is that? He said, well, I don't know where it is, but it's in the Bible. I said, okay, you read it, you don't know where it is, you forgot where it was. I didn't say that to him. He said, can you find it for me? I said, sure. He said, well, it's talking about all died because of Adam, but then it also said all go to heaven because of Christ. I said, really? Is that what it says? That's what it says. I said, well, you know, sometimes all, this, I started out here, all is all under consideration. Sometimes that was the way I first came at him with it. I said, but I'll find that for you. I said, it's in the book of Romans, and it's in the 5th chapter. I don't know exactly which verse it is, but I'll get back to you. We finished eating our breakfast. So I called him up on his phone. I said, no, I sent him a text. Here it is, 5, chapter 5, 18th verse. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Now, you can take that if you want to be the way the world looks at things. You try to break it down grammatically. All is, what's all? All. All in the scriptures is kind of a crazy word. All under consideration. The offense of one, judgment came upon all men. As Adam died, judgment came upon all of his following, all of the people that were born after that on the earth, bar none. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. It came upon all men under consideration. For as many by, let's read the 19th verse now. I said, Joe, I want you to read the 19th and the 20th and the 21st verse. Well, I haven't done that. I said, well, there's some kind of thought going on here. You need to go back and finish the thought. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. This is in the 19th verse. And so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. I said, Joe, what's it saying? Did he say all? And it said many. Many. There's not saying all now anymore. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me I will nowise cast out. Christ said that. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. All that the Father, all, he says all. Now, but he classifies, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Who's going to come to Christ? All of what? All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he's coming, I will in no wise cast out. I'm not going to reject them. When he comes, when they come, let's read that, and then we'll stop. Sixth chapter of John. Why am I stuttering? Well, this is still there. It's here somewhere, but there's so many good things here. Let's look at the 44th verse. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last days. It is written the prophets. There we go again, written in the prophets. How did they write it? They wrote it as the Lord moved them. And they shall be all, taught of God. Every man, therefore, that have heard and have learned of the Father cometh to me. All that the Father, all that had learned, all that were taught by the Spirit of God, all that was given His love in their heart, all that know what's wrong and what's right now, they're all coming to me, coming to Christ. And then He sums it up. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. He that believeth on me hath. He that believeth on me, the Spirit of God has already come into his heart. Because he told Nicodemus, you can't see the kingdom of God unless you've been born again. He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. How many are you happy that you have the knowledge of Jesus Christ and you know that you have? You have everlasting life because you believe on Him. How did you believe? He put it in your heart. I don't care what kind of sin you've committed in your life. I don't care what you've done wrong. Listen to me. If you want to start comparing sins, I might beat every one of you. I don't care about that. It does not matter. Your acknowledgement and your actions and your trying to do good has nothing to do with your eternal life. Do you understand me? Can I say that again? Your life on this earth and what you've done, whether you've been bad or good, has nothing to do with your eternal life. If the Lord has put His Spirit in your heart, He's saying right there, if you believe on me, you already have everlasting life. That's it in a nutshell. Don't worry about it. Give it up. So what am I supposed to do now? You know, do I need to be good? What's in it for me? Some people like to say that. Well, what am I supposed to do now? If I don't have to be good, you know, if you have that everlasting life, your desire is to do good. You don't want to turn away and go back to that old thing because you felt the blessings of God and He has blessed you and it's felt wonderful and you want more of that. Why? Because you come back in here every Sunday to come together, the Lord's people, to worship and sing praises. You want to hear more about that love. You just can't believe that me, this kind of sinner, He overlooked my sins and He died for me. Is that not a wonderful thing? You want more of it. Now, let's say you get overcome and you get trod down and you get in a state where you can't fight off the wiles of the devil. And you go and you get involved in doing something that you know is not what you should be doing. You know, just like I was worried about my dad coming home because I didn't mow the yard, I was laboring and heavy laden thinking about the punishment that I was going to be given to me because I had transgressed the law of my earthly father. Children, if you go against the law of the Lord and you do things that you know in your heart you shouldn't be doing, you're going to live a life of burden and sorrow and despair. Well, what do you need to do? Well, you got to write 27 letters, and you got to go in this little room, and you got to tell this guy in this little funny car. No. All you got to do is just talk to the Lord and come back. And say, look, it's called repentance. Isn't that what it's called, Brother Matt? You know, repent. Peter was telling them all in Acts, look what y'all have done. Y'all murdered the Lord. You crucified Him. You done all these bad things. Repent. Turn away. Repentance is turning away. Well, now, if you're here today and you like what I'm saying, You said, you know, I think I want a piece of this. I'd like to be a part of this. All you got to do is come down here and say, hey, let us, I want to be a member of the Midland Primitive Baptist Church. And guess what? You'll be received in a spiritual, godly, scriptural manner. And you can come and rejoice with us every week. You may already be doing that. You don't have to have a piece of paper that says anything. You know, if the Lord wants to bless you, he's going to do it. It's up to him. It's not up to us. I'm going to stop right there. My heart's pounding real hard. it's a beautiful thing, the thing that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has done for us. I can't understand. I guess it's not mine to understand. It's just mine to enjoy and love the fact that I feel like that's happened to me. And I am going to love and rejoice and fellowship with all of you. All of the Lord's people, wherever they may be. Let's sing a song.
Okay.
Number 157.